Good evening. This is The Gay Life on KSAN, and I'm Randy Alfred. Tonight on The Gay Life, we present Night of Candles, highlights of the memorial program in honor of Supervisor Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone, who were assassinated in City Hall on November 27, 1978. The ceremony was held on the Polk Street steps of City Hall on the evening of November 27, 1980. That was Thanksgiving night. It was sponsored by the Harvey Milk Gay Democratic Club, and the two MCs for the evening were Gwen Craig and John Joyner, vice presidents of the club. The first voice you'll hear is that of Gwen Craig.
Bitter, bitter hatred that caused us to be here 2 years ago has wrecked the city from one corner to another, not only for the lesbians and gay men who live here, but for the elderly, and violence against women that continues, and violence against people who make the mistake of showing that they're vulnerable to being attacked. It's very symbolic that we had to take back the streets tonight. It is on the streets that we have to face our greatest fear. I am trusting that you are here with us tonight to make that commitment that we will not live in that fear, and that we will do all that we can to end the violence in our lives and to end the violence in our city. Tonight, we're going to move into a program of remembering Harvey Milk and George Moscone at the same time that we talk about the problem of violence and what we're going to do about it and how we feel about it, and to confirm that feeling and that commitment that has brought us here tonight and that I hope will bring us here next year and the year after that and the year after that.
By the way, for those of you who don't know me, I'm John Joyner. I am one of the vice presidents. You had heard from Gwen Craig, the other vice president of the Harvey Milk Gay Democratic Club, just a while ago. I'd like to take this opportunity to also welcome you on behalf of the club and on behalf of the gay community. We are here with a very special purpose tonight, and that purpose is to remember two very, very good friends. We are here to remember the lives of George Moscone and Harvey Milk, and I can't think of a better way to remember those two people than to take a moment and realize that the violence that snuffed out their lives is the violence that we have to contend with every day in this city. We, by standing here tonight, are making a statement, and that statement is that we have had enough. I'd like to now bring someone onto the stage who, when I first came to San Francisco 6 years ago, was fighting in the state legislature for a bill that would allow gay men to love gay men and for lesbians to love lesbians without the fear of the police establishment from coming in and telling us we were breaking the law. I would like to welcome Assemblyman Willie Brown.
Thank you very much. November 27th, 1978, at or about 11:15 a.m., all of us in San Francisco, and I suspect freedom-loving people everywhere, lost two of the most magnificent spokespersons, two of the most dedicated public servants in pursuit of justice. And it frankly is a crime on the city of San Francisco that this entire square isn't filled with gays, straights, blacks, whites, and everybody else in the world. Conditions in San Francisco, if not throughout the world have not gotten better since George Moscone and Harvey Milk gave their lives. Conditions in San Francisco and the rest of the world are still as bad as they were at the time that Dan White did his drastically deed. I say to all of you who marched tonight in memories of George and Harvey, you're going to have to keep on marching. You're going to have to keep on protesting. You're going to have to keep on demanding of this government You're going to have to keep on demanding those of us who are your elected officials that we are really your elected servants and that we must at all times say that a measure of injustice to the most unfortunate in our society is a measure of injustice to all of us. Harvey and George were the symbols of a new beginning for San Francisco. They were part of the new government of this town, elected directly by the people and responding to the people in terms of how they enacted laws, in terms of how they administered laws, in terms of how they interpreted laws. A whole new atmosphere permeated San Francisco when George Moscone and Harvey Milk were part of our body politic. And when their lives were stuffed out, a whole lot of what they stood for, a whole lot of what they symbolized went with them. We, as the survivors, we are the legacy of Harvey Milk and George Moscone. And as long as we breathe, as long as we walk, as long as we move, we must, in every fabric of our system, repeat to ourselves constantly, George and Harvey's lives must never have been given in vain.
There are a lot of people who have things that they wanted to say about Harvey and George and also about the problem of violence and about the better understanding between communities that we feel is the long-term solution. I'd like to introduce to you next a man who works with the youth in the Mission and other parts of the city with a program called Real Alternatives Program. His name is Roberto Hernandez.
I'd like to say that it's an honor for me to be here because as a young person who was born and raised here in San Francisco, we've struggled as young people for self-determination, and it's a struggle that's going to continue. And one of the things that I've learned in my life, and one of the things that I learned from George Moscone and Harvey Milk, was that they had self-determination. And from that self-determination they had, we had a city that we were united. And when we had problems, we dealt with the problems. When we had leadership, one of the problems we have in our communities right now is that we have violence. And we got to put an end to this violence. But the violence has got to start and it's got to end, first of all, with the police department. When they begin to set an example that they are here to serve and to protect all people, then we will have peace on earth. And we will have peace in San Francisco. I'd like to welcome you to our land, to the land of Aztlan. This is everybody's land, and we should take the opportunity to let this city know that we will no longer tolerate the policies and the way we are treated as animals. We will not stand for that. We are human beings, and we must fight for our struggles. I'd like to thank you and the members of the Harvey Milk Democratic Club for giving us an opportunity to let you know that we will fight and struggle to end the violence in our communities. And we hope to have your support to help the young people in the Mission District who need the help to be given the guidance, to be given the leadership, to be able to do something positive with their lives. Who killed Harvey Milk? Who killed Moscone? It was the police department member, ex-member. And that 5 years that he's doing is an unjust. It's an injustice to us as Latinos. It's an injustice to the gays. It's an injustice to all people who struggle. As a community, we are taking the police to trial. In July of next year, from a lawsuit that was filed by members of our community, we will be taking the police to trial, along with Mayor Feinstein and other members of this city who have done nothing for our communities. We offer our support. And we ask of your support to support us with the raffle we're having to raise money for our lawsuit. Thank you.
The next person that's going to speak tonight is a friend of Harvey Milk's, who fought the battles with Harvey Milk, who walked the streets with Harvey Milk, and on the day that Harvey Milk walked down here to be sworn in as San Francisco's first gay supervisor, Wayne Friday was there, and we felt it would be appropriate that we ask Wayne Friday to come here tonight and to share some thoughts about a very special person in his life and a very special person in all of our lives. Wayne Friday.
Happy Thanksgiving Day, everybody. I have some statistics. Since it's the norm this week, everybody's flashing statistics around, so excuse my notes. We have marched here tonight to commemorate the lives and values of two good friends. We've marched here tonight for another reason, to deplore the relentless spread of violence in this city. George Moscone and Harvey Milk were the victims of the ultimate violent act, the very same violence that stalks these streets tonight. At the moment, the thousands of us here feel pretty safe. We're here together. But how many of us here would walk these same streets alone 4 hours from now? How many of you would go across the street to that underground garage where only a few weeks ago a Superior Court judge learned the hard way that even a judge is not safe in this town? Gathered here tonight are mostly gay men and lesbians who have never been unaware that there exists a storm of hatred and fear and violence. But we are dealing now with a sickness that has spread to epidemic proportions. Here tonight are people of every faith and color, every size and every age, and every one of us know that walking alone in this city at any time of the night, and now shockingly, even in the daylight, we could all of us be at the flick of an eyelash the victim of a savage attack. And from whom? From roving packs of homophobic young males. These packs roam the city at will, waiting to pick off a victim. If that victim is a male, the game is to call him a faggot, which means anything goes then. Kick in his face, stab him again and again with a screwdriver, and leave him a helpless victim. When a male is a target, never is it a one-on-one combat. It has to be a pack of 3 to 20 people. Always. When a female is the victim, the attackers need not be as many, but the crime is every bit as vicious. And rape is more often than not part and parcel of the whole plan. Since the deaths of Harvey Milk and George Moscone, the crimes of rape and aggravated assault have increased in this city each year by some 22%. In 1979, there were some 682 reported aggravated assaults at the Mission Station alone. Mind you, those were only the reported assaults. In the same year, there were at least 124 reported rapes out of Northern Station alone. Those figures, taken from the police department's own statistics, translates that in 1 year, the first year, one out of every 50 San Franciscans has either been attacked or raped. Think about it. Since the assassinations of Milka Moscone 2 years ago, that means that one out of every 50 citizens has been a victim. The mission station, which covers the Castro, Noy Valley, and the Inner Mission, leads the city in assaults and rape. And I am speaking only of reported cases. We all know that literally hundreds of such cases go unreported. And yet, when we report such beatings, we are told, I guess because they appear one at a time, that they are, quote, isolated incidents. Would you like to hear more? This means that one out of every 20 people standing before me tonight, one out of every 25 of us here, has been the victim of an assault within the last 2 years. And I'd bet my last dime that everyone here knows at least five other people who have been the same victim of assault. And to those supervisors, and I know you are listening, because if the complaints you get, as you say, deal only with park litter, dog fights, and public urination, then I think it's about time you find out what's going on in this city. And if indeed you know what's going on, but don't want to offend certain constituencies and prefer to sweep it under the rug, then I want to tell you tonight that I think we recently voted in 4 more years of bad news in certain cases. I repeat, by the police department's own figures, one out of every 25 of us here tonight has been attacked in the last 2 years. Those 2 years, not coincidentally, have been the years that Dianne Feinstein was in that office upstairs. The mayor is fond of repeating the old Truman phrase, the buck stops here. Well, Mayor Feinstein, if that phrase means anything, let's apply it. The mayor and her police department has had 2 years to stem the tide of violent crime, and in particularly attacks against gay men and women. Crime in this city hasn't gone down. It hasn't stopped. It's gone up and up and up. And it doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. The mayor has the power to put this epidemic of violence against our community to a stop. The mayor and the mayor alone has that power. She also shares the responsibility if it doesn't stop. It goes on. As for the police chief, I know Con Murphy, and I like the man. I think that Murphy wants to do the job. Wait a minute. However, all of Con Murphy's in the world don't matter if the mayor doesn't put out the word that it must stop. The mayor said she needed her own chief a year ago. The mayor has hired her own chief. But she has to lead the way. She has to call in her chief and her captains and lay down the law and say it's going to stop, and if it doesn't stop within the time limit, she will fire the whole lot of them. That's what has to happen. She must tell them that they have a time limit to clean it up. That is, everyone on the streets knows, it's apparent to everyone, especially those of us who walk these streets, that the police are not stemming this tide of lawlessness that is sweeping San Francisco. No. I submit to you that they are not stopping it because some of them don't want to stop it. Because they might possibly get hurt themselves. And secondly, fag bashing is a sport that some of our police department themselves would like very dearly to take part in themselves. It's not that you can't get police response. We hear the law talk about police response. You get good response. Good police response if it's a vice or a drug bust. If it's a vice or a drug bust, the police department respond in droves. No less than 8 police officers to flood the Jaguar bookstore at midnight to check on permits. 8. Some 20 police officers used to bust the Mitchell Brothers movie theater up the street. And more than 20 police officers used to catch people smoking grass recently at Studio West. Oh, there are plenty of police departments. But when it comes to being people beat on the street, well, they can't really do anything about that because they're not there when it happens. And the reason they're not there is they don't want to be there. All right. And you know the bottom line? Everyone in this building knows what is going on, from the security guards to the supervisor's aides to the mayor herself. And you know what? She doesn't know what to do about it. Wait a minute. Taking a ride on a Fillmore bus or walking through the Tenderloin are only meaningless gestures. In times of trouble, what does the mayor do? She sets up another panel or a commission. And true to fashion, the Sunday after the senseless Dolores Park attack, the mayor made a visit to the park and reported that all was quiet. And she proudly then reported she counted several police cars there. Now I ask you, is there a safer place the week after Dolores Park than to be up there with the mayor and her entourage? It's got to be the safest place in town. She should have quietly gone back there the following night. I have often thought to myself, what would Harvey Milk be doing if he were still alive today? To begin with, Harvey was not a violent man, nor did he believe in violence. But Harvey was a terribly impatient man. And he established two priorities. Number one, Harvey always said, don't really expect anything from our so-called liberal straight friends in office. Number two, he said, if the gay community is going to do anything, it'll eventually have to do it itself. And if the issue is protection, then that, too, we will have to do for ourselves. Harvey Milk was always of the mind...
If they push us around, we're going to push them right back. Journalist Randy Schilt is writing a book on Harvey, and Schilt said recently that he found out that Harvey was a firm believer in rocking the boat.
Rocking the boat because we are victims of so many social injustices. Harvey even believed in rocking the boat once in a while, even if it didn't need to be rocked. 2 years come next May, because of a grave social injustice, we rock this building to its very foundation. It was not planned. It wasn't planned. Those gays who warned that it would happen were brushed off as being overreactive. And when it did happen, it couldn't be contained. And not incidentally, when it did happen, we earned respect around the world. And we are calling once again upon Mayor Feinstein and her police department to bring it to a halt for us. If Lyndon Johnson could declare a war on poverty in this nation, surely Dianne Feinstein can well declare a war on violence in this city. And I call on her again tonight to do just that. And if the mayor does that, this city, all of us, straight and gay, black and white, will rally around our mayor as never before, and I promise her that. But if we get no more than lip service, and the streets that run off Castro and off Haight and off the Fillmore, Polk, or Folsom, continue as some sort of modern-day blood alley, if every time you get on a muni bus, you take your lives into your own hands, if every time I see a group of teenagers, I have to prepare myself for the worst, well, if lawlessness in this city not only prevails but triumphs, well, this time we won't just rock the boat. If our elected officials and our law enforcers can convince these terrorists that it is no longer the thing to do to attack gays, that we will once again have a safe city, and I, for one, will be the first to publicly stand up and thank the mayor and her department. Will you thank her with me if it happens? Of course you will. But if they can't, then the task will fall to us to do it for ourselves. One year ago tonight, I stood here in the memory of Harvey Milk and pleaded with our city leaders to lead the way in stopping anti-gay violence. I stand here before you tonight, and in the memory of Harvey Milk and George Moscone, I put those in this building on notice that if they can't stop it, then we will do it by ourselves. I pledge to you, all of you, that we will not be driven from the streets of this city. Thank you.
This is The Gay Life on KSAN San Francisco, and tonight we're presenting highlights of the memorial program in honor of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk. The program was held on November 27th of this year on the steps of City Hall. The speaker you just heard was Wayne Friday, the president of the Tavern Guild of San Francisco and a friend of the late Supervisor Harvey Milk. The next speaker you'll hear is Gwen Craig, vice president of the Harvey Milk Gay Democratic Club and the MC for the evening.
Before I introduce our next speaker, I'd like to just call to your attention, since it was called to your attention who isn't here tonight, I'd like to call to your attention some of the people who are here tonight, and those people also marched in the streets with you. First of all, president of the board, John Molinari, Supervisor Carol Ruth Silver, Supervisor Louise Renning, and someone who is an activist along with Harvey Milk, Supervisor John Bardis. And all, last but not least, as they always say, our Sheriff Michael Hennessy. Supervisor Harry Britt will show himself to you later also. He'll be up here to say some things, too, and have some remembrances of his own. We've talked a lot, and we will talk a lot, about bringing communities together. The next speaker is someone who's from a community that we've been with for a long time. When Harvey Milk served on the Board of Supervisors, he had not only the lesbian and gay community as his staunch supporters, but he had a lot of friends and a lot of support from the Chinese American community of San Francisco. In tribute to that, in remembrance of that, in respect for that, we would like to introduce Julie Tang, who was just elected to our community college board. Julie Tang.
Thank you. Thank you all very, very much. Thank you. First of all, I wanted to say that I'm very proud to be here with you tonight. And I'm also very proud that my father is also here tonight. And I wanted to make the best speech that I've ever made, because my father has always taught me to be receptive, to be tolerant, to work with people who share my concerns, people who are oppressed, people who are disenfranchised. And I know my father is proud of what I'm doing. He's standing right over there. Please give him a big hand. Two years ago, when Dan White, in his temporary diminished capacity, snuffed out Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk, I think since then we have been able to turn the sorrow, the anger, and the frustration into success, into a lot of accomplishments. And one of the accomplishments is the coalition between the Chinese community and the gay community. It is no incident that when I was elected to the community college board, that the first gay person, Tim Wilfred, was elected along with me. And all the time we were working on a coalition alliance politics together. And I think this is the only way that we can ever function in this society. I think that the coalition between the gay community and the Chinese community extends far beyond campaign politics. It goes into the crux of the problems that we both share. For histories, the Chinese Americans have been deprived of immigration rights, of entering into this country. For 100 years, the Chinese Exclusion Act was in effect until 1965, when it was completely repealed. Today, the gay members in this society are not allowed into this country freely and unrestrictively. Those are the same kind of concerns that we share and the same kinds of concerns that we have to fight for. And it is no incident. It is no incident that right after we fought against Charlie Chan, that a CBS documentary came out exploiting and abusing gay persons and Chinese persons in this community. This is no incident. And I tell you, violence in this city has also been visited in the minority communities as well as in the gay communities right now. I feel that as a Chinese person, it is my responsibility to educate the members of my community what the kind of pain that we have to go through to deal with this violence and the historic ignoring of us by the law enforcement agencies. And it's really incumbent on us to work together to fight that kind of violence. Violence from the law enforcement agencies is completely intolerable. I think that if we eventually want to gain the grounds that we want to gain, the kind of grounds that Harvey Milk laid before he died. You know, Harvey Milk was really one of the strongest supporters of the Chinese community. That's why it's so painful for us when we lost him. He was the close associate to Gordon Lau. He fought for Chinese community every step of the way. And it was really a big loss to us. It's not just a loss to you. And every time we think about that, we know we've lost a really, really good friend. And that's why this coalition that exists now is no incident. It's really the hard work of Harvey Milk and his farsightedness and his versatility. And we've got to respect that and pay tribute to that and honor that by working as close as we can for the many years to come. There will be many challenges as we see the years ahead. Politics is a really funny game. 3 years ago, coalition means working together, supporting each other, working in an alliance on all the issues. I see there will be challenges, but I think there will be times when your interests will be so compelling that I will submerge my interests to meet yours and vice versa. I think at this point in time, we have a really solid base. And let's work, build upon this base, the Chinese and the gay community, onto other bases. With the blacks, with the feminists, with the disenfranchised, with the working class, with every segment of the community, until we convince them that we are here to stay permanently. San Francisco City is ours.
I'd also like to acknowledge that our district attorney, Arlo Smith, is with you out there in the lesbian and gay men's community chorus, singing a Hebrew song entitled Song of Galilee.
Baruch Inna Hagalil, 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 Baruch Inna Hagalil,
To some of the people who helped to put together what we are enjoying here tonight. I'd like to thank All American Boy for providing the monitor t-shirts for all of the monitors. I'd like to thank the fabric printers who supplied the silk screening. Cost Plus Imports are responsible for many of the candles that you're holding right now. And some of the other candles were supplied by California Surplus. And I would like to thank all of the monitors who are here tonight. Once again, we've been able to prove that we have the willingness to come forth and maintain order for ourselves. And I'd like to thank all of those people who pitched in and went through the nights of training and stayed with all of you along the way to see that we did demonstrate a nonviolent movement on the way. And there are a couple of people who work very hard within the Harvey Milk Gay Democratic Club, which sponsored this event. And I'd like to just give them some tribute for all the work they did. Terry King, who coordinated the event. John Joyner, who's been sharing the MC duties here with me. Richard Sevilla, who coordinated and spent all the time bringing the monitors together. This program has been a joy, and it's coming soon to a close. I'd like to introduce next.
The Wicked Soap Advisor.
I'd like to introduce next someone who knew Harvey Milk very well as an activist long before he was known to you. Someone that Harvey shared many confidences with and who he shared with in developing what's happening in the community that we know today. He was an earlier president of the Harvey Milk Gay Democratic Club before he was taken away from that duty to be a supervisor, Supervisor Harry Britt.
I think the word has gotten out tonight that the gay community is very angry indeed. I think it's good to be back in the streets, and I think we're going to have to stay in the streets until something is done about homophobia in this city. And in all that's being said about Harvey, I do not believe that George Moscone, with his understanding of what life is like in this town for people who are different, would have denied the reality of homophobic violence the way Dianne Feinstein has. We miss him very much. I'm not going to add much more, but I do want to share a couple of feelings that have been with me today as I've thought back to November 27th, 1978, the loss we shared that day and the feelings we had that day. Harvey would be with us tonight, very proud of our willingness to show our anger when we have a right to be angry. Because homophobia was the one thing that kept Harvey Milk going throughout the early part of his life, that drove him into politics, and that led him to his death. Harvey understood, as no one else I've ever known understood, the very deep resistance of people to dealing with sexuality, and particularly with homosexuality. And he would understand that it is up to us to continue to get that message out that people must come to terms with homosexuality or they're all going to be sick. At our hearings recently on anti-gay violence in this city, Dr. Peters from our city health department said, "Homophobia is a serious disease, and there's an epidemic of it in this city, and the government must make it a priority to eradicate that disease and cure that epidemic." But we're here tonight to remember Harvey, and we can't just go away talking about homophobia. There's another part of Harvey Milk that I feel constrained, and it's a little harder to do, to talk about and to share feelings about, besides his deep concern about homophobia. Harvey once said to me, when I tried in a funny, stumbling kind of way to let him know how important he was to our community, he tried in a funny, stumbling kind of way to say back to me how very, very important you, the gay community, were to him. He tried to communicate to me that what really kept him going was the extraordinary beauty that he saw in lesbians and gay men. Now, if we are serious about getting rid of homophobia, the one thing I think we have to say to one another more loud and clear than anything else is let's start being sure that we're rid of it in ourselves. It really is not easy. It really is not easy to go back into your life with all of the times and all of the people that you've loved who've told you that you're sick or inferior or not worth a damn and identify with that and to really genuinely be proud and thankful that you're gay. But if you don't do that, you're homophobic. And the problem that caused Harvey Milk the most pain was when gay people, lesbians and gay men, were not free enough in their own self-pride to truly and deeply love each other. And that is a goal we still have not achieved yet. We still have not reached the point where lesbians and gay men can relate with the kind of naturalness that the straight world needs to learn from us in male-female relationships. And we have, as Wayne said so eloquently, we have been petty and bickering among ourselves and much too grateful and much too pleased when non-gay people have tossed us a crumb or handed us a little bit of tolerance. The first lesson of Harvey Milk to the gay community was please look at your neighbor, look at yourself, and see how beautiful it is to be an openly gay human being. And I want to tell you, in a Ronald Reagan world, we have an incredible responsibility to show not only the city of San County of San Francisco how to get along without violence, but to show this whole country that you don't limit what people think or limit what people feel or limit the ways people relate to each other. You just love each other naturally the gay way. I went through some pretty heavy head trips when I was first called into public office about how awful it would be if I let Harvey Milk down. And I want to say I have come to understand, as Harvey always understood, it ain't Harvey Milk we have to not let down. Harvey's dead, folks. But the people that Harvey Milk would not want us to let down is ourselves and one another. On May the 21st, we gathered and we expressed some pretty strong feelings. And the next day, a lot of people down here, including the mayor, were pretty badly pushed out of shape. And we're really worried if we could let gay people get together again because we seem to be a violent group. And I want to say it's good to express those feelings when you're angry. And that this community, as Harvey Milk understood, this community, because of our history of being pushed out and put down and told we were perverted, this community has a history that has more love in it and more compassion and more sense of justice and more possibility of peace than any other community I know. And we must be extraordinarily proud of that and share it with the whole wide world. So I'm going to quit now, but be assured that the one thing we must never, ever do if we're not going to let November 27th, 1978 have been in vain is lose sight of the beauty of our own community and the incredible challenge of sharing that with the Asians, the Latins, the Blacks, the old, the disabled, and everyone else who's been told they're weak, and say to them, as we have had to say to ourselves, you're strong if you love each other and work together and are ready to fight when you're mad and love the rest of the time. Thanks a lot.
This summer, when the moral majority Christian right targeted San Francisco as a part of their evangelical activities to come and criticize and preach to the gay community of San Francisco, I'm happy to say there's one group that was standing on the street corners, standing on the street corners, and standing up to the Christians on an equal footing. And when the dean of USF says that we couldn't have a gay student union or a gay student group at USF, it was this group that was leading the fight out there to show the Catholic Church right where they belong. I'd like to bring on the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Thank you. Oh. Good evening. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence march with you tonight in solidarity with our brothers and sisters here and around the world. We come in memory of our slain comrades, George and Harvey, the men in New York City, the man in Buena Vista Park, those slaughtered in Dolores Park and all over the streets of San Francisco. We come tonight to honor our martyrs of homophobic violence. We would like to lead you in a closing benediction. The form of this benediction is a litany. One of our sisters will deliver the invocation and declarations, and all of us are invited to make the group response. It is a prayer of empowerment and healing for these violent crimes.
A litany for justice for all. Let us invoke the elemental forces, and our response is, we beseech you hear us. O moon of our Stonewall uprising,
we beseech you hear us.
O sun of our resistance,
we beseech you hear us.
O nights of our joys,
we beseech you hear us.
O days of our delights,
we beseech you hear us.
Let us celebrate the earth upon which we move, and our response is, we will dance in your light. On your holy mountains,
we will dance in your light.
On Buena Vista,
we will dance in your light.
On Corona Heights,
we will dance in your light.
At Land's End,
we will dance in your light.
In Greenwich Village,
we will dance in your light.
In Dolores Park,
we will dance in your light.
Through the streets of San Francisco,
we will dance in your
light. Let us also remember all our martyred brothers and sisters. And our response, we give praise and remembrance. For our sister Queen Bodica,
we give praise and remembrance.
For our sister Joan of Arc,
we give praise and remembrance.
For our brother Robert Hillsborough,
we give praise and remembrance.
For our brother Harvey Milk,
we give praise and remembrance.
For our brother Robert Opal,
we give praise.
For our brothers George Wentz and Bernard Kenning, murdered on Christopher Street,
we give praise and remembrance.
For all our sisters and brothers attacked daily in these streets of St. Francis,
we give praise and remembrance.
And as we proclaim our empowerment, our response is, let us deliver ourselves. From the polluters of our planet,
we deliver ourselves.
From the lies and distortions of the corporate media,
let us deliver ourselves.
From the hatred of patriarchal religions,
let us deliver ourselves.
From the Ku Klux Klan and Cops for Christ, from high rents and greedy speculators,
let us deliver ourselves.
from both of Diane's faces. From the power brokers who divide and exploit the minority communities of this city. From military witch hunts. From the closed minds and doors of immigration officials. From the violence of prejudice in all its forms, white, black, yellow, brown, red, and gay. From all ugliness of spirit. Toward a nuclear-free future.
Let us deliver ourselves.
Toward an age of enlightenment.
Let us deliver ourselves.
Toward a time of liberty and justice for all.
Let us deliver ourselves.
That concludes Night of Candles, the Gay Life's coverage of the 1980 memorial services for Supervisor Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone. And now, for a little musical remembrance and flippancy about those events, we present Twinkie Insanity and The Ballad of Dan White.
Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. Cause that Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. I went to the liquor store to buy a pint of gin. But wouldn't you know that owner said the price went up again. Well, something come over me and I stole that gin that day. But when it comes to trial, boys, this is what I'll say. Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. That Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. I had me a pretty wife and three adorable kids. But I didn't have no job or work, I'd really hit the skids. Well, dealing dope was my only hope to feed my family. But naturally I got busted and they threw away the key. I should have said, Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. That Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. Danny White, the cop that busted me. He shot Moscone and Harvey Milk, but soon he will be free. Oh, I wish I'd had his lawyers when I was up for trial. I'd have stood right up square-shouldered and told him with a smile. Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. Cause that Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. Cause that Twinkie Insanity has got a hold on me. On a cool November morning, 1978, Dan White got up to go downtown. He took his 38. He went to see the mayor to demonstrate his rage. He was only going to act it out. It was just an emotional stage. He found the mayor at his desk, unarmed and alone. A few words passed between them, and then he shot him down with a cool
de Grasse, he laid to rest, a man well loved by all. Then he left and he reloaded as he walked through City Hall. Little Denny threw a tantrum and now two good men are dead. And that jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him up to bed. He later said that Harvey looked at him with quite a smirk. Oh, it must have made him feel real bad to be taken for a jerk. So he pulled out his gun again and he blew another down. He claimed he had been overcome by an overwhelming sound. With the gun still hot in his hand and the blood red on the floor, Dan White walked to St. Mary's where he had prayed before. Then to the police station where his friends were on the job. Well, they were ready and they were willing to protect him from the mob. Little Denny threw a tantrum and now two good men are dead. And that jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him up to bed. 6 months passed and the verdict came like a blow to my jaw. Somehow Dan White was innocent in the just eyes of the law. Oh, but if he had no malice as required for murder one, well then why'd he pack those extra rounds? Hell, why'd he pack his gun? Little Denny threw a tantrum and now two good men are dead. And that jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him up to bail. And on this there is no question, he'd been black instead of white. Well, they would have sent him to the chair. Hell, he'd be dead tonight. But the system would not take the life of that every mother's son. Was it sympathy that blinded them to the bloody deeds he'd done? They said that he had been depressed. Well, I've been depressed myself. But does this mean that it's okay to get your gun down off the shelf and blow away two human souls whose views you do not share? Oh, if that's the law, then we have all good reason to be scared. Little Denny threw a tantrum, and now two good men are dead. And that jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him off to bed. Yes, little Denny threw a tantrum, and now two good men are dead. And that jury, they just slapped his wrist and sent him off to bed.
That was Twinkie Insanity by Art Peterson and The Ballad of Dan White, a murder ballad, 1979, by Lonnie Anderson. And that about wraps it up on The Gay Life. This morning, you've heard Night of Candles, the memorial service for Supervisor Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone. Next week on The Gay Life, you'll hear a recording from Magnus Records, the National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights, commemorating the October 14th, 1979 march. I'm Randy Alford, and I produce The Gay Life. I also write a column, On Live, for The Sentinel, which is available in gay neighborhoods throughout San Francisco. The Gay Life would like to hear from you, so write us if you have any comments, criticisms, or suggestions. Our address is The Gay Life, KSAN, 345 Sansom Street, San Francisco, California, 94104. Once more, that's The Gay Life, KSAN, 345 Sansom Street, San Francisco, 94104. Tune in again next Sunday night at our new time, 11 p.m., for The Gay Life.
The glamour of the gay nightlife has lured you.